Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman on this 11th day of March 2015 as we continue on our study on the end times. I'm sure aware of right now, if you've been a regular listener of this program, or if you haven't, as usual, you can ask for the recordings of the program. They are sent out free of charge by email to everybody who asks for them. So how do you ask for them? Just send an email to UgandanWatchman@gmail.com asking for recordings. And you don't have to, they are free. You just say, send me the recordings and they shall be sent to you. However, if you know somebody who receives the recordings, or if you're one of the people who receive the recordings and you do want somebody, a friend of yours, to get the recordings, you don't have to ask them to send an email to Ugandan Watchman. You can just forward the mails to them and they don't have to ask again. So why is that important? Because if they ask, they can only receive at the end of the month when they are sending out the new consignment for the month. However, if you send forward them, they can receive them without any problem. So if you have somebody whom you want to hear the recordings and you are one of those who receive them, just forward it to them. That's no problem. Forward it to as many people as ask for it. It is free of charge, and all that matters to I, the watchman, is that they listen to the message and they know that we are living in the end times. Now, of course, I'm called to do that. I told you that before. The Lord told me specifically that he has called me to arouse the awareness of his of the church towards the soon coming of the Lord, especially the church in Uganda, towards the soon coming of the Lord. So that is my commission, and now I want as many people as possible to know that we are living in the end time. So send that out. I also did want to tell you something about the Watchman Conference, and that is that we are looking at, the Lord is directing us towards July. That's when, in the month of July, is when we are going to have the... I told you before, the reason that I had not communicated the date is because I was still trying to seek God on which date, which are the best days. But I think I got leading in that direction towards July. So we are looking at the Watchman Conference in July, and the preparations are ongoing, and I'm sure that... We are going to have what it takes to put up something extremely powerful, which is going to open the eyes of so many people. So we are living in the end times, you know that. But my purpose is not just to tell you that we are living in the end times. It is also to tell you how to live in the end times, because the fact that you are is a definite. At least you know that for now. Now, how do you live in these end times? I told you before about deception. Deception, first of all, in the church. I've spoken about deception out of the church. But there's a lot of deception in the church, which is targeted largely to take the power out of the Christianity, so that Christians have no power. And when you take on a powerless Christianity, which is just a form of religion, then the forces of evil come and kind of try to subdue you. And you find yourself powerless, always fighting against, you know, demons and things like that, and with things which you're not supposed to be doing, because you're supposed to be taking power and dominion, which is what I'm going to talk about today. Now, the book of Revelation, we've said here before that the things we are speaking about are definitely going to come to pass because they are Bible prophecy. How do we know that they are going to come to pass? Because all the other prophecies that the Bible has spoken about that were supposed to come to pass, many of them, like 80 or 90% of them, have, let's say like 80% of them, have already come to pass in our lifetime. So we know those that are not, have not yet come to pass, are definitely going to come to pass, because we have seen those others actually do come to pass, and we've been speaking about that in great detail. Now, I'm telling you how to live in the end times, and I told you, make sure that, number one, the Bible is your standard. Be ready to learn new things in the Bible. The Bible is not a book that you can know, and you suddenly know it so well that you don't need to continue studying it, because God is eternal. Even when we are in heaven, we'll continue to know him progressively, because he's an eternal God. He does not end. You cannot come to the end of him. I've read all the Bible. And people who say things like those, you just know they're about to be deceived. Where he says, I've read the Bible from cover to cover how many times? So have I. But the point is, I can't stop, because there are always new things. that are being learnt in the Word of God. Now, people who get into deception are people who think that they know the Bible all too well. Then they set out to start fighting everything that does not fit into what they already know. So if somebody comes up with a new message and he does not know it, then that message is definitely wrong, because he has made himself a standard bearer of what is right. He has made himself the SI unit, so to speak. So if anything comes and he doesn't know it, it means it's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because I don't know it. Who made you all-knowing? You aren't. So the point is, if something is new, take time to hear it out. And if you decide it is wrong, make that decision be based purely on the Word of God. Tell somebody, whatever it is somebody comes up with, I ask them, show it to me. Where is it in the Bible? If they can show it to me and explain it to me, and it does, and it fits perfectly into the entirety of Scripture, then I will not argue. I don't argue with anything that the Word of God says. So that should be your standard. But aside from that, how do you live in these end times? How do you be a victorious Christian in these end times? I've spoken here before about how Daniel, in the times, the whole book of Daniel is prophetic. The whole of it, not just the parts of Daniel chapter 9 that talks about the Antichrist and the agreement he's going to make with Israel. That's 9:27. Not just chapter 11, which talks about also the Antichrist and the places that he will not be in charge of. 11:41 and 42, telling you how the Antichrist will not have authority over the state of Jordan. And he also will not have authority over much of Israel. He will take a third of Israel, the Bible says in Zechariah, but not all of it. And not just chapter 12, which talks about so many other things that are prophetic. The whole book is prophetic from the beginning to the end, from the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a clash of a pagan leadership against a godly minority, against people who are godly but who have the power of their God. All that is symbolic of the times in which we are going to be living, from the beginning to the end. So when you read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to worship Nebuchadnezzar, and he tried to destroy them and failed, that is the kind of life that God wants us to live in this end time, whereby the people of the world might have political power and all, although also children of God are called to be in positions like those. But even if they do have political power, you have a spiritual power that supersedes them, because eventually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted just by showing Nebuchadnezzar that they have a God who is greater than him. So was the case with Daniel throughout the Den of Lions and things like that. So we are called to be victorious Christians in the time of the end, when there is a lot of hostility against the message of Christ. Now, how are we going to do that? I'm going to show you in part of Scripture that, first of all, I'll read from Revelation chapter 5, which says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy, I'm reading from verse 9, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain, and have rendered us to God by your blood. Now, it's talking about Jesus. See, I'm reading from the Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Talking about Jesus Christ, of course, out of every tribe, every tongue, and people, and nation. And you have made us, verse 10, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. So now Jesus Christ, when he talks about reigning on the earth, it is not just talking about reigning on the earth in the new earth, the new Jerusalem that is going to be created, although that is true as well. And during the millennium, when we are reigning with Christ on the earth, that is true as well. But it is also talking about us reigning on the earth as it is right now. And the Bible says Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests to God. Now, those words are not idle. Don't just say kings and priests and leave it there idle, because it has a meaning. Okay, now everybody who is a king has certain things. Okay, a king has a crown, that's for sure. A king has a throne, and a king has an area of dominion, an area of where they reign. So the reign of one king does not extend into another king. Some kings are of a higher glory than others, and so on and so forth. So for instance, the king of Toro is not king in in Ankole, let's say, because his jurisdiction does not extend beyond Toro. So in Toro, he's king, and he has a throne, and he has an area of dominion. Now that is true for every king, including the king that you are. So every believer is a king, and that means every believer has a throne, every believer has a crown, and every believer has an area of dominion where you are king. And God puts people in positions where you're supposed, I mean, he puts you there, you're a believer, and you're supposed to behave as king. And of course, it also says you're a king and a priest. Now, those are two different offices which were held by Jesus Christ and which he gave us. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, those were separate offices, because a king had a different anointing and a priest had a different anointing, and the anointings were different. Okay, now in the New Testament, actually, all those anointings are on the believer, the anointing of a king and that of a priest. What does a priest do? Let's go back to the Old Testament to understand what a priest does. A priest is somebody who connects people to God, okay, and who brings godliness to earth, who is a kind of an intermediary, so to speak, between God and men. So he brings the ways of God to people and takes the pleas of people to God. That's what a priest does. So the people come and they bring their sheep to be sacrificed, and they cannot do it themselves. It is the priest who gets the sheep, sacrifices it, and sprinkles blood and does all those things, then declares them sinless on the basis of what the priest has done. Now the priest therefore instills godliness on earth, and then takes man's concerns or questions, whatever it is, to God. Now all of us stand in the position of a priest, where you're supposed to foster godliness in your surroundings. Okay, everywhere you are, you're supposed to be a kind of a priest, where you represent the kingdom of God, and where you are supposed to enforce it. Even in the workplace, you can be a priest. How do you do that? I mean, and this is for every believer. Every believer in the workplace, be a priest. If somebody has a problem, let you be the person whom they come to, even if they are not believers, because that's how you are going to witness the gospel anyway. Let you be the person to whom they come and say, I have a sick child, can you pray for my child? I have this and all those other things. And you are the person who has the confidence, because you're a child of God, to bring to have the priestly anointing to actually bring the kingdom of God and God's ways into the family of this person. Say, you have a sick child, I will pray for your child, and your child is going to be healed in Jesus' name. Now when you do that, you are acting as a priest, because you are introducing God into the family of this person who probably does not know God. And some people even don't know, I mean, who know God still want to, I mean, still need to be prayed for, of course. So you're a priest. Now a priest is somebody who does worship, okay, who sends up incense to heaven, and when he sends up incense to heaven through his worship, then heavenliness comes down to earth. So every time you stand and worship God, you're standing in the office of a priest, because you're worshiping God. And when you praise and worship God, then you're inviting the kingdom of God and God and God's ways and God's authority to come on earth and come especially through you and come and influence people, because when he comes down, he's going to influence people towards good, towards godliness. So that is the purpose of a priest. Now then also you're a king. Okay, now some people would like the idea of being a king. Every time you pray, every time you intercede, you're being a priest. You intercede for people, you pray for people, you're being a priest. All those things, you understand what I mean. Now, but also, he has given you a king, and to show that you're a king, he has actually created for you a throne. And you sit on a throne, and I am not, some of you think that is being blasphemous because you're thinking religiously, but I'll read for you to you from the Bible. But by the way, I don't care if you're one such person. If you don't want to learn, that's your business. But I know the things that I'm teaching are biblical, and some people know what these things are. Anyhow, he says now in Colossians chapter 1, now this is important, he says, for by him, by Jesus Christ, so I'm picking it from verse 16, Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Okay? So he says, all the things that were created, he divides them into two, visible and invisible. Okay? Then he says, those which are in heaven and those which are on earth. Then he says, of those which are invisible, there is thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Now, some people, when you talk of dominions and principalities, they think about the devil. But they don't know that you have a throne and you have which is above the devil. Okay? They don't know that you have a throne. Now, he's not talking about one throne. He's talking about thrones. Okay? So, it's not just Jesus who has a throne. You have a throne too, because he's the King of Kings and you are a king. He made you a king, and every king has a throne. Now, he is the King of Kings, which means he's your king. Okay? Now, then he says, principalities of power, all things were created through him, through Christ, and for him, for Christ. And he is before, is above all things, and in him all things exist. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, which is the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence or the dominion. Now I want you to understand that Jesus Christ has a throne which is above every throne. Now, he has created thrones for you and I, because we are also kings. Okay? Now, below Jesus Christ is you and I seated on our thrones. And the thrones are not the same. Some people have bigger thrones than others, depending on how close they are to God and how developed they are in the spiritual realm. So some people have a higher throne than others. How do you know that? If I pronounce something and I say this thing is going to be like this, then somebody who is of a higher spiritual state than I am comes and says that thing is not going to be, then my pronunciation is not going to work. His is going to supersede mine, and mine is going to come to nothing. Now, however, if I pronounce something on somebody, and then somebody who is of a lesser spiritual authority than I am comes and pronounces the opposite, what I said is going to stand, because I'm of a higher spiritual authority. Now, you're saying, aren't we all Christians? Aren't we all what? Yes, we are Christians. We have the same rights and privileges, but we don't have the same authority. Some people have more authority than others. Now, of course, you can develop that's what I call a higher anointing. That's why even you go and sow into higher anointings. You acknowledge that somebody is of a higher spiritual state than you, and of a higher whatever, and you go and sow into that thing, because you acknowledge leadership. And that is true in all the world. Okay, people acknowledge that somebody is higher than them in different things. In business, people acknowledge that, you know, I'm a good businessman, but if so and so came here, I would sit down and listen to them, because they have a higher, you know, authority than I am. Now, that is true also for the kingdom of God. Now, you have a throne because you're king. You have a throne, you have dominion. You have an area of dominion. Now, that's what you have not been taught as a Christian. And you think that you are going to be in a place and people trample over you, and you've let people trample over you, because you don't know when you step into a place, you have dominion over that place. That's what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel, that whatever place you step in, you set your foot on, I have given you that place. In other words, you are the bosses of that place. You have dominion over it. So you are the ones to boss the people in that place. Now, people of the kingdom of the world know everything about dominions, and they use those things very, very much to make themselves even rich. I'll give you an example, for instance, to surround themselves with people who are like them. I'll give you an example. Have you ever noticed that, especially Asia, Indians, when an Indian comes in a place, within a short time, the whole place is full of Indians. Have you ever noticed that? Do you know how that happens? Do you know why it happens? How come that they'll come and even take up a street? I've seen some upcountry towns where one Indian comes up and sets up a small supermarket on the street. Within a short time, the whole street is full of Indians. And somehow, for some reason, all the indigenous people find themselves exiting the street and going to another street. And between a short time, it's called, you know, the street of Indians. How does that happen? Have you ever really thought about it? Has it crossed your mind how that happens? Now, I'm going to tell you how it happens. Because those people operate in the spirit. They know that when he comes into a place, he wants to take dominion. over that place. So he goes and does spiritual things, which are, of course, most of them demonic. And they go and take dominion. You know, I saw that, for instance, even in the flats in Bugorobi. One Indian comes and takes up one of the flats. Within a short time, the whole block is full of Indians. And you ask yourself why. Because these people, when he comes, he's not going to be surrounded by people who do not think like him. So he's going to go and do certain things, certain demonic things. And within a short time, a certain Mukasa who was living on the block loses interest in his flat, sells it to an Indian, then another one does what, then another one runs broke, he cannot afford the rent, an Indian enters. Within a short time, the whole place is full of Indians. And that is a spiritual thing. Now I want you to understand that those people serve the devil. In other words, they serve an angel. Just an angel, whom the Bible says, and you know, this is the whole thing. Christians don't, and they when you go to certain churches where they teach about demons and what, they make it look like the devil is a big enemy, big adversary of God. The Bible says when Jesus comes, he will destroy the devil with his breath, basically just blow him, and he's totally destroyed. And Jesus doesn't even touch the angel. The devil. He sends an angel to go and bind his fellow angel, because Jesus is so far above. Satan was just a creation, but you people make him look as if God is busy battling Satan and what, and then you get involved into a battle and you make an angel, a fallen angel, appear so big, yet he is defeated under your feet. He's thoroughly defeated under your feet. And this is the whole problem. If you don't understand your position in Christ, and if you don't understand that you're a king and you have a dominion, and your dominion, as the Bible says, he has set your dominion above, you know, above all principalities, all evil principalities. He has set you above them because you are the body of Christ. Now, Christ is above you. He's the throne. His throne is above yours, of course, and he's the King of Kings. Now, you are a king. Okay, the Bible says that. Now, you also have your area of dominion. Now, in the same way, and I'm telling you things which I have done, I'm not just talking things. In the same way, you can get into a place and decide, I just want Barokore in this place. And then you go and pray all unbelievers out of that place. And you will see, very soon, if you know how to take dominion, very soon you will see that you've been surrounded by people who are like you. So also start taking areas of dominion, because you have a higher power. Just know, as a believer, you have a higher power. Use it. Don't be timid. Use the power that is at your disposal. Now, I'll give you an example. A place where I stay, some Indians came and, took up a house in the neighborhood. So they called, they belong to that sect, which is, that building which is near the fire brigade, down near that, around the Queen's Way, as you go to the park with the big elephants. They belong to that Indian sect. So one day I'm away from home, and I feel this urgent urge to go home. So I actually hurry up home, because I jumped on a boda-boda, and I felt I had to get home very fast. Now, when I reach there, I find they are doing sacrifices, and you know, doing what? Why are they doing that? Because they wanted to take dominion over the place. Okay? No, they called their priests and what, and there was a whole feast. There were so many of them there. They were burning incense and doing all sorts of things in the house, which was across the road from where I stay. And they are trying to take dominion over the place. So I said, okay, now I know why the Holy Spirit wanted me to come, so that I see this. So when I knew they were trying to do that, I said, okay, now they can burn all the incense. I am a child of God. They don't have even a tenth of the power that I have. They are totally powerless before me. So I just sat outside on my compound and got a cup of coffee and prayed in tongues. Then I declared in the name of Jesus that I chased those Indians out of that place. Now, after 2 weeks, the Indians came and asked at my place that we understand this house is up for rent. Because according to their sacrifices, I was supposed to have left the house, and then it is supposed to have been taken up by an Indian. So after some time, because they know what they are doing, after some time they came and said, we understand this house is up for rent. I said, no, it is not up for rent, but yours is very soon going to be up for rent. So I chased them out of the place, and they are not there right now. And then I decided no more Indians in that place. And one had even bought the house, but he lost interest in it. and now he hired it out to some kind of warehouse or something like that. Because I declared I don't want any Indians here, because, I mean, with all their devil worship and what. Of course, if they are Christians, that's a totally different thing. This is not a racist thing. This is God versus the, you know, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of evil. So, after some time, guess what happened? Some people who were around there, and I actually declared that I don't want anybody here who practices, anybody who practices witchcraft within a certain area of my where I stay, I have chased them away from here in Jesus' name. And they left. I know what I'm talking about, because I am a king. And as a king, I have a throne which is above every witchcraft, every sorcery, everyone. My throne is above. So if I'm above and I order, those who are below have to listen. Okay? So eventually, they left. And the next thing I heard, somebody moved into the neighborhood. The next thing I heard, there are new people in the neighborhood. Then at night, when I'm outside praying, I'm also hearing my neighbor also outside praying, and I realize that he's a Morocco. So I can influence and decide on the Morocco are going to surround me, because I'm a king. So I say, I've stepped in this place. As long as I am in this place, as long as I'm on this flat, as long as I'm in this area, I don't want any wicked person here. And I have that authority in Christ. Okay? Now that's how we are going to, because when a child of God takes dominion, then God takes dominion. Okay? When the child of the devil takes dominion, then the devil takes dominion. Now how is God going to have dominion on this earth when we, his children, go and take dominion? Now I taught these things to certain people. I taught them the other day. Somebody, you know, a relative of mine came and said his boss, they fired him from the job, and I thought it was unfair. And then when they discovered it was unfair and he was supposed to be reinstated, because some man feels he doesn't want to admit he made a mistake, he decides, no, you're not coming back. So I said, okay, I have fired him from that place. And within 1 week, he had been removed. Within 1 week, because my words are not empty, okay? I am a child of God. I said, if he has done that and he has refused to reverse a mistake and he's chasing a child of God, then I've chased him away from there. And after 1 week later, they transferred him and removed. I didn't fire him, I just transferred him from that place. But if I had fired him, they would have fired him. They would have, because the things in the, you speak things in the, your power is in the spiritual. Don't fight with people in the natural. So if your boss comes and decides he doesn't want you, he's trying to call, I taught these things also to my mother, by the way. Now my mother, one day she has a shop, you know, and then somebody comes, and within two blocks, that a lady comes and is a witch doctor, and she's advertising, come here, you know, Msawe Chinasi and all that crap. Oh, my mother knows, you know, I've chased you away from here. And the lady clashed with the landlord of the place. Within a matter of like a month or so, the lady clashed with the landlord, they fell out, she was chased out of the place. Just say, so you are a king and you have a word. The word of a king is never empty, okay? Because we have, Jesus is the King of Kings. When it says he's the King of Kings, it doesn't mean he's the King of the earthly kings. Those are not even kings. Those are lost people. Okay? He's not talking about the kings of the earth. Those are not kings. The real kings are us. Okay? Because we have authority. And now Jesus is the King of us kings. Okay? Now the Bible says that. Eh? If you don't believe it, that's your problem. But the Bible does say it. Now, so now I've also been teaching it to other people. Learn how to take dominion. Don't let some boss come and bully you at work when you're a child of God. Fire the guy in the spirit. Don't even argue with him. Don't try to say, now my boss, how can he do this to me? Now what? The devil is going to use people around you to fight you because you're a child of God. Now if you don't understand your authority, you are going to be tossed left, right, and center because you don't understand your authority. Now, this is how we are going to live in the end time. Now, Daniel, on the other hand, knew that the devil is using all those Chaldeans and all those people to come and attack him. So they go to the king, Darius, and tell him, oh, king, if anybody worships any other god apart from you, of course they are playing with the king's ego. And those kings actually at some stage believe their own delusions that they are anything apart. I mean, they are supernatural. They are not mere men. And that was a belief so much among the Chaldean kings and even the pharaohs in Egypt and everything. The pharaoh was considered to be a god. So Daniel says, no, den of lions, no problem. Eventually he subdues the king, and Daniel served four different kings of a foreign empire. And he's even a foreigner. He was one of the captives of Judah. He arrived in Babylon as a captive, as a young boy. Actually, it's estimated historically he was 12 years old when he arrived among the captives. But by that age, they had already noticed that he's a very clever person. Now, I told you the book of Daniel is prophetic from beginning to end. It shows how we are going to live in the end times. And this is what I am teaching you right now. So I went. So Daniel stands in there, and they are trying to fight him. How does he distinguish himself? By showing that he's cleverer than all those people, because he has the wisdom of God in him. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar realizes he has the wisdom of God in him. Then, I'll tell you a bit about that, you know, a bit later in detail. But right now, what I'm telling you is that you are not called to lead a life of a loser, a life of a powerless person. You have the power of God residing inside you. And one of the ways that the devil knows how to divert people is he makes himself big in the minds of people. All those churches where you go and they tie people on poles, trying to work, and they have destroyed lives of Christians. You have no idea. They have destroyed those churches where they are chasing demons and what, they have destroyed lives of people, so-called deliverance. And it is actually, they make people see a demon in everything. When somebody coughs, that is a demon of what? When somebody does this, that's a demon of what? You know, when you're walking and, you know, you kick a stone, no, that's a demon of what? Yeah, be careful, jump the stones next time. There's no demon there, don't. But you know, they make people devil conscious. Then suddenly people think everything is about the devil. I want you to look at those people. I was talking to a lady whose sister was doing very well. She was married. Her husband had money and was setting her up to do businesses, and, you know, a good husband, a man who loved her and everything. And then she joined one of those churches. Oh my God. She has lost her marriage because she became obsessed, almost obsessed until she's possessed. Now they are trying to chase out demons, but they're actually inviting them. She lost her husband, she lost her marriage, she lost everything. She lost all the money she had. Now she's a pauper, but she's in church busy chasing demons. And I don't know why people see that. There is no testimony that comes out of those things. There is no testimony. Just go and know you're a king with your authority. I'm teaching you how to live in the era in which we are living. Have authority. Now, when I'm chasing an Indian out of a place where I stay, that is not something which I'm going to pray about 3 days and fast. No, I have a high. I mean, let me tell you, when the king here, these kings of yours here, when he's changing his parliament, he does not have to ask anybody. He's the king. He just says, today I have changed the whole Ruchiko, I've put another one. And nobody questions him why he's a king. Now you are a king. Now when you're saying something like that, but you have to because you're a king, not just a king, but you're also a priest. Because your work is to bring down the godly on earth. Okay? And then you're a king. So you're in two offices. Just understand that. Study those things. The anointing of the king and the anointing of the priest. Because you have both of them as a Christian, as a child of God. Now when I'm saying those things, I just sat out and I just proclaim. Because when I proclaim, it is what position I occupy in the spirit, which has been cultivated over a period of time. And I just proclaim that this person, I don't want them there any longer. They are gone. And I don't just do it because I am a child of God, so I have the love of God. But if somebody has chosen to be used by the devil, and has chosen the devil is going to use him to frustrate children of God, then he has to go. Because if he doesn't go, then the child of God will go. Now you think that is unfair, but God, I mean, let me tell you, favor is unfair. If you want favor is unfair, because every time you're favored, somebody is disfavored. So, and the Bible says, I will give people for your sake. And God tells the children of Israel that the land that I'm giving you has its occupants. It's not empty. There is nothing which God is giving you which is empty. There are people who are occupying it. But he's telling you, I have taken them away. I want you to go and be there. Okay? So these are not idle things. Now you have to go and uproot somebody and be there because God wants you to be there. And if God wants you to be there, it's the righteous thing to do. Okay? Don't be there timid, Kati, what about him? Now, you know, and you start getting into some kind of, religious love, which is not godly love. And then somebody comes and tramples on you. And for him, and those witchcraft people, by the way, they know how to take dominion. You know, a relative of mine was telling me about a lady in their workplace, who is a witchcraft person. She uses a lot of witchcraft. She's just a tea girl, a messenger. Okay, so everybody fears her, even bosses. Even the bosses fear her. Because she has a certain spiritual aura, which is of the devil, of course. And of course, the bosses are not born again, so they are afraid of her. So they give her money every month, which is supposed to ensure that the office has, you know, coffee, tea, sugar, milk, and all that, so that people can have a cup of coffee, you know, while at work. And it's quite an amount of money because it's a big office. But she does not use any of it for that purpose. And if anyone wants tea, she will tell you, give me money, I go and buy the coffee. And everybody knows that she actually gets money for it. But nobody dares ask her because they are afraid of her. So this guy goes and tells her, but you, where do you put the money they give you for this purpose? Because I'm the one actually who signs for that money. Then she just looks at him and says nothing. Then when the guy goes to the boss and says, what's wrong with this woman? Why doesn't she use the money that she's given to, to supply tea and coffee to the place, and she uses it for other things? The boss says, you leave that woman alone. If you want money, you just tell me, I'll give it to you out of my pocket. You go and buy whatever you want, but leave that woman alone. So she has instilled fear through using evil means. Okay? Now, the children of God don't know how to do that. So you are there and everybody is kumanyiraing you because you don't know your authority. Okay? Now you can be in a place and even your boss is scared of you because you're a child of... If he's not a child of God, you're a child of God and you're a king. He's not. For him, he's a slave. You're a king. Okay? So he might be your boss in the earth and he's the one who signs your paycheck and all. But if you know how to exercise your authority, you'll get to a position where even your boss is asking for your opinion. And nothing is done in the office before they ask you. Even if you are what? You're less than them. But people somehow, there's all that thing where, you know, that's what happened to Daniel. Then he actually, when he had subdued Nebuchadnezzar, then he calls him. And when he interprets for him the dream, then he says, now I want you to appoint these people to work with me. Man, what kind of person is that? So, a foreigner who came as a captive, as a slave, now is telling the king of the most powerful, the most powerful empire ever in history was that empire of Nebuchadnezzar. Historically, there has never been a more powerful empire than that one. Okay? I think the only one that actually came even fairly close was the empire of King Astartes, the one of Esther, in the book of Esther. That was an empire that actually kind of had nearly as much authority. But Nebuchadnezzar, there has never been an empire as big as he is that time. So now Daniel, who was a 12-year-old, a captive, comes and is telling him, now I want the following people to be my assistants. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, I want you to come and... Can you imagine that? A teenage captive, a slave, picked from Judah, a kingdom which had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and is now telling the greatest king on earth what he wants. Now this is the, I want the following: surround me with all these people, now fire the other guy. And the king is saying, yes sir. Why? Authority. Now that's what God has called us to live. That's the kind of life that God has called us to live. Now don't let yourself lead a defeated life, because God has never called you to live in these end times. If you be in that defeated, timid, whatever life, you are going to see how people will trample you, because people are determined to do evil. The evil people are determined to press their evil and force it on us. Now, if you do not know how to use your authority, then they are going to come and trample on you. Now, those guys, can you imagine, they come and do sacrifices, and then they come to my house and say, is this house up for rent? Because according to their plan, I'm supposed to have left by that time, according to their gods. But I am not.
but they don't know who they are dealing with. So I said, okay, my house up for rent. Okay, yours is going to be up for rent within 1 month. And it was. I fired them from the place. I said, okay, now we'll see who has a higher God. Okay? Now I taught this to somebody. And they were doing those things. She actually stays in Bugorowi flats. And there are Indians who had moved into her flat. And somehow, she actually owns the flat. But they were determined to push her away spiritually. So, she became very broke. And now the only asset she had was a flat. And as fate would have, if you don't know how to handle these people, as fate would have it, the day you say I'm selling, an Indian will come. Because they have worked on you spiritually. So I called her. I mean, I was teaching about this somewhere. So I told her, listen, those people are trying to take control of you. Now, you're a Christian. You know what this is. Don't let that happen. So what she did, she went and fasted 3 days. Not day and night, just days only. And took dominion back. Took dominion over the place. And until one of the wives of the Indian came and told her, what kind of God do you serve? Because they had noticed in the spiritual realm that tables have now turned. They had pushed her in a tight corner because she didn't know her authority. But when the day she went and took control of the authority, even they noticed. Until one of the wives of the Indians came and said that, but what kind of God do you serve? Okay? Now that's when you tell them, I serve Jesus Christ, who is above all the Indian gods. Okay? And that is an occasion to show them that they cannot manage. But you see, Christians have become religious people, you know, to what, you know, praise, and powerless Christianity, and you're living a life like that, and it's not even attractive to anybody because you're powerless. There is nothing to show for it. Nobody sees that you have something special that they don't have, that therefore that they need. And how are you going to live in the end time like that? How are you going to evangelize the world like that? That's why even God wants us to be financially prosperous, because that is going to be a witness. People are broke. The only people who have money are born again people. So of course people will come and say, how do you people manage to have money? Then you tell them, we serve a powerful God, okay, who is a powerful provider. And God wants to use that platform for you to preach the gospel. That's why it's not good at all, as far as God is concerned, for you to be broke, for you to be struggling. Somebody came to me the other day and told me that, you know, I've been struggling with finances, brought to me a plan of a house, and said, please pray over this plan, that our house which stalled long time ago should start what? You know, flourishing again. So I told her that, do you tithe? She told me, yes, I tithe. So I asked her, where do you tithe? So she told me where she tithes, and I know it's not good ground, I know. So I told her, I mean, can you listen to me? Because some people have mpaka, and then you tell them, then they start arguing. So I told her, listen, you brought for me this plan, I can do the religious thing, and just say, hey, God, please, let this house continue, and I know it's not going to happen, because I know what your problem is, and if you come, I'm going to be honest with you. So I told her, listen, so the ministry you tithe, is it increasing? And the ministry is stagnant. It's stagnant. You're tithing into a stagnant ministry, which is not increasing. There's nothing. There's no increment in it. Meanwhile, she's attending a ministry which she has known for so many years, which started in a sitting room somewhere and grew and grew and grew, and now they are meeting in a theater. And she knows that ministry. So I told her, listen, you're connecting to the wrong person, to the wrong ministry. Connect to increase. I told her this is a spiritual law. The things we do are spiritual. They do not work. Even these things, when I command that it's going to happen, the minute I say a word, okay, in the spiritual realm, it is arranged. And they live. I don't say anything else. I just mention the word, and in the spiritual realm, it's arranged. Why? Because I'm a child of God, and I'm a king. I have a throne. I'm speaking from a position that I'm above those people who are servants of the devil. I'm above them. So I just order them, this is going to be like this. And it happens. So I told her, listen, now you know that this ministry that you're attending is increasing, but because somehow you feel your tithe is supposed to be used to help, your tithe is not help. When you tithe in any ministry, you're not helping. Even if you tithe to me, you're not helping me. I can survive without the tithe. You tithe because you want to connect to an anointing that is on my life. Now, if you don't want to connect to it, don't tithe to me, because the tithe is a connection. Find an Now you see, we are what? Then you start using words as kuagira, kuagira. Don't kuagira, go and kuagira those musicians in their conference. Me, I don't need to be kuagirad. My source is God. If you see something, if you know something in me that you want, connect with it, and it will cause an increase. I know that for a fact. Okay, but if you don't want it, that's your problem. That's your issue. Find one where you can see an increase. It's not just, of course, there are so many others where you can clearly see there's an increase. I told you all the things. If you haven't listened to them, go and listen to all those things. I preached about that thing. Now, so I tell this lady, listen, you are struggling. It is not God's plan for anybody to struggle financially. Not God's plan. If you're struggling financially, find out, what am I doing wrong? Because God does not want you to be like that. God does not want you to live where school fees comes and you're on bunkenke. Rent comes, you're on bunkenke. Everything, it is not a plan of God. I mean, how do you do ministry like that? I mean, how do you even live life like that? I mean, okay, like, it might be a starting point, but if you follow God's means, it's going to get you somewhere. It's going to take you somewhere. I remember when I preached that sowing message, a man sent me a message and said he's a security guard. He has been a security guard for 10 years. He has been tithing faithfully, and he has been receiving 200,000 shillings. So I tell him, for 10 years you've not seen an increase. There is something wrong. God cannot wait 10 years to give you an increase. When are you going to be rich? When you're dead? I mean, you have only a number of years here. I mean, what kind of God would that be, where he waits 10 years and you first suffer? Then he's somewhere sitting on his throne cheating, saying, let him first suffer. That is not our God. Our God is a good God. Okay, he wishes us good every day. When our children are happy and we are happy and we are supplied, God is happy. Never doubt the fact that God wants you to be absolutely happy. Anyway, so this security guard tells me, so where do I haven't seen increase for 10 years, so where do I tithe? So I tell him, listen, find another place where you think you are going to get increase. So eventually, after some time, he says, listen, I think I've been led. I actually even directing to a certain ministry, which I know. Then he says, listen, I think I believe that I'm supposed to tithe with you. I'm supposed to tithe to you, and I think that's when I will get increase. I said, if that's what you believe, then go ahead and do it. So he sent me his first tithe. Okay, he gets 200,000. So he sent me 20,000. And even, you know, called me to make sure I've received it. Called me like 3 times. Have you received it? Have you received it? Have you received it? So I received it and said, God, this is an increase in Jesus' name. Before even he sent the second tithe, his salary had increased from 200,000 to 500,000. I think I've even mentioned this before. And don't connect anyhow. So he called me, and you're so excited. Now the increase after 10 years, they called me and told me that, you know, you've worked so well. Now we are increasing your salary from 200,000 to 500,000. Now, you only have to be faithful. It will move from 500 to 1 million to 2 million, like that. That's how God operates. And you just have to give him time and do what he says you do. And we live the things we preach. We don't just say things for, amen? We don't just say things for, because I have to do certain things. I leave what I do, because I don't trust anybody else for money except God. And I do what he says, and I trust that he provides all the finances. And he does, no problem. He does. Now, so the thing is, God does not want you to be struggling financially, because you're not a witness when you're struggling. I mean, people are not going to see you and admire you. God does not want you to be a weakling, somebody who does not know the authority, because you're not a witness. So I told this lady, stop connecting to failure because you think that you have to support somebody. I don't know where you get the word support. You don't support it. Even when you give your partnership seed to this ministry, you're not supporting me. You are connecting, and that's supposed to bring an increase. Support is what you do to needy people, and that's a different kind of giving, which also God honors. When you give a poor person, God honors that. The Bible says, everyone who gives to a poor person lends to God, and God will repay him. So that's also godly. But when that's a different kind of giving. But when you're giving partnership and what, you're connecting to an anointing, something that is going to make things happen in your life, okay? And something that is going to make certain things happen, which somebody has cultivated over a period of time, and you receive them easily by simply connecting with the anointing of that person's life. So anyhow, so I told this lady, if you're in struggle and what, reason, use your mind. The Bible says God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. So you have a sound mind. Think, if I am tithing in this place, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I'm not seeing an increase. There is something wrong with the place. So just change. Change, find, look, pray. God, where should I put my seed? Where, Lord, do I put my seed? God will answer you one way or the other. Put your seed there and look at how it is going to grow. And because God wants you to be rich, so that all your neighbors are looking at you and are envious of you, then they come to you and say, what is your secret? Then you tell them, Jesus Christ. Do you want to receive him? And then you lead them to Christ. When the money has been the witness, because some people will not listen to you unless, people will not listen to you when you're broke. Some people will not listen to you when you're broke, but when, because they are money-minded, and that's how the world operates. The world is full of people who are money-minded. So God is saying, if people are money-minded, okay, I will get my children and give them money, loads of money, so that those who are money-minded come running to them because they want money. Somehow, because God is so merciful, he says, I would want as many people as possible to listen to the gospel. So that's God's end-time plan for you, for us. We live in victory, okay? We live in constant victory. We are on top and not below. We have authority and we exercise it. We are not weaklings, you know. They chased me away from the job. I don't know why my boss does not like me. I don't know why what. You know, I know these things are biblical. Look in the Bible, in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Paul is trying to preach the gospel to the proconsul, and there is this sorcerer, a man who comes there, and is trying to stop the man from preaching the gospel. Paul just mentions and says, you're going to be blind for a moment because you're trying to hinder the gospel. And the man becomes blind instantly because Paul has his authority, but he doesn't use it anyhow. Okay? Even the girl in Philippi who was following him, saying, you know, the girl who had the divination spirit following him around, the Bible says Paul was patient with her, but he wasn't happy with her, but he was patient until it got to him. Then he just said, okay, now I've had enough, get out in Jesus' name. So if somebody comes to me and tries to attack me using witchcraft, I will try to show them that I have a higher power and try to minister to them and what. But they had better not get too hard on me, because if they insist on being evil, I might pull out a bazooka which they will not like, because I am a king and I have an authority, okay, and I have a kingly anointing and a priestly anointing. Okay, and if somebody has chosen to serve the devil, that's what happened with Herod. He first gets James, kills him. Then he sees that the Jews are happy. Then he says, hey, okay, for it's easy to make the Jews happy. Now let me also get Peter, and I'm going to kill Peter also. So he gets Peter and puts him in jail. But now the Christians say, no, I think we've had enough. So they pray, and not only is Peter released by an angel, but Herod gets himself in a stupid position where he starts equating himself to God, and he rots from the inside and dies. And immediately the Bible says Herod died. The next verse says, and the gospel was spread. Because if this stupid king has decided to stand in the way of the gospel, God is not going to let people perish because of a certain stupid king called Herod. He will die and the gospel will go ahead. Okay, and yet God is not going to do it of his own. If the children of God don't decide that this man has become a hindrance, therefore, since he has become a hindrance, let's take him out of the way. And sometimes those things happen. Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm not advocating for you go around and start using your authority. In any way, if you are immature, you not have that authority. God will give it to those who are mature enough to know when to use it and when not to use it. Amen. And I want you to understand that. And I want you to know the Bible also says that I will give people for your sake. So sometimes if somebody has decided to be a stumbling block and has decided to be used of the devil, that's their business. But the word of God has to go on. We have to save as many people as have not heard the gospel. We have to tell them about the kingdom of God. And we have to tell them that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we want them to be part of the people who are saved on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. Now we are going to do that one way or the other. We are going to stand up and preach the gospel. We are not going to let anybody. Now some people, when they don't understand when I told them why I don't want the Pope to come, of course because they are reasoning with their heads and what and so on. But for me, I'm telling you what the will of God is. Now those who have a sense of what the will of God is stood with us and are still standing with us. Don't stop praying about that.
But of course, some simply, I mean, people who are just, you know, mind people, logic, who don't understand spiritual things and how spiritual things work, who even would not understand this message. For them, somebody sent me saying, I like your program, but for me, I want the Pope to come. And as he doesn't even ask, why don't you want him to come? Because if you want something about, I mean, but you see, you've chosen to reason, and you see, reason, we are reasoning. God has a will, and that will is revealed. Now, if you choose to not do it, those who do the will of God will be rewarded for having done the will of God. Now, for us, we are here to be priests. Now, the priests are the ones who do the will of God, and who we are priests over this nation. We are the ones who pray that this nation does not fall into the hands of evil people who are trying to take control over it. Because evil and people of witchcraft are trying to take control over this nation. Now we are the ones who pray. We pray that evil people do not take control over this nation. We pray that the children of God prevail in different places and are in different places. But you see, there are people of God who don't even know, who go with the undercurrents that are of the devil. Okay. Now a child of God is in a position of authority, but because certain radios, certain people, certain what don't like them, and they don't like them because maybe they don't like them because they are born again, and maybe it's even Muslims shouting against it. But because for you are so emotional, then also you jump up and start fighting a child of God, and you have no sense to know that we must have children of God in these places, in positions of authority. So before you start fighting people just because certain undercurrents have been created by people whom you don't know where they came from, and that's the feature among the children of God who do not understand the era in which we are living. The Bible says, I set up a table for you in the midst of your enemies. In the midst of your enemies, they will not like you, but you are going to rule over them whether they like it or not. Because you have a powerful God. If you know how to exhibit the power of your God in this earth, don't let yourself be a weakling when you have the power that created the heavens and the earth in your what? In you. That's why that prayer that I told you to pray the other time, maybe I should even leave it with you right now as we end this, which Paul prayed for the Ephesian churches, when he says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now that's Paul saying, this is how I pray for the Christian, I mean for the Ephesian Christians. Now that means this is how you should pray for yourself, because now this is a Holy Spirit inspired prayer. The prayers which are in the Bible are Holy Spirit inspired, and you should pray them over yourself. That's how you get these things, because they were inspired by Holy Spirit, and therefore they are typically in the will of God, and they typically produce results. Now what does he say? He says, I do not cease to make mention of you in my prayers, and says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. And when they are enlightened, what will happen? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and you may know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You have to know what your inheritance is in Christ, so that you don't start suffering and struggling financially, because you have an inheritance. You're a child. You're a bona fide child, a citizen of the kingdom of God, a member of the household of God in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And then all these things, you were once far off and now near. I wish you would speak these things over your life. And then he goes on to say that, that you may know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and that you also may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. So Christ is far above all principality. He is far above all might, far above all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. But he doesn't stop there. It says, and he put all things under Christ's feet, okay, and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Now I want you to know that if you are the body of Christ and everything is under Christ's feet, then everything is under your feet, because you are Christ's body. Do you understand that? If I stand on top of a table and the table is beneath me, that means every part of my body is above the table. So that means I'm above the table, every part. So if whatever part you are of Christ's body, you are far above all principality, you are far above all power,
far above all dominion and every name. I mean, you are far above because you are the body of Christ. God made Christ. So even if you are the feet of Christ at the bottom, remember you are his actual body. Even if you are the feet of Christ, still you are far above all principality and power. Now, if you can believe that, good for you. If you can't, you're going to spend all your night chasing demons and doing what, and you know, deliverance and what and things like that. And I want you to show me where you'll find those things in the New Testament, and you'll not find them. I am telling you that there was a believer, and then the believer came, and then they came. There was a deliverance service held by Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter or Apostle John, and they cast demons out of a believer. I don't know, but I don't know where people get to all those things from. But for me, I read the Bible, and they are not there. They are not there. We'll end it here. I told you the Watchman Conference is July, according to the leading of the Lord. I'll give you details later. Thank you so much for joining us on the Watchman. I hope you go and stand in the authority that Christ died for you to have. God bless you. We will continue on this next Wednesday.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.